please turn to the back of your bulletin or in the Bible to Luke chapter 11. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be delving into the Lord's Prayer. Since it is something that we as a church recite every week, I think it's important that we examine exactly what it means, and we don't allow it to just become a rote repetition each week, that each week it has meaning for us. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" When Robert Louis Stevenson was a boy, he once remarked to his mother, "Mama, you can't be good without praying." She asked, "How do you know, Robert?" And he said, "Because I've tried." And there was another young boy who this time was sent to his room by his mom because he had not made his bed. A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "That's fine," the mother said. "If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." But the boy said, "I didn't ask God to do that. I asked him to help you put up with me." There was a program on British television about the state of religious experience among children. It told about a young boy whose parents suffered a very serious accident. The boy told the police, "I wanted to pray, but I did not know any prayers." Alfred Lord Tennyson has said, "More things are wrought by prayer than the world dreams of, for prayer sustains our society more than any other factor." Do we know how to pray as we should? Because prayer is one of our spiritual disciplines. If we're truly praying to God, the Lord's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're truly praying about the Lord's kingdom, about other people, it can be strenuous, it can be difficult, it can be time-consuming. I think the disciples may have been struggling with the art of prayer. They didn't ask Jesus how much to preach, how much to teach, but they recognized they needed help with prayer. And if you read about many of the great preachers and revivalists throughout the ages, for example, if you read about Spurgeon, the great British preacher, there was a man who was in a side room to the church praying for the service every time he preached. When Billy Graham has crusades, there are people on their knees praying for those crusades. That when we read in Christian history, when there's been a great awakening, when there's been a revival, prayer has been at the heart of that. Luke mentions that Jesus was praying in a certain place in 11:1. When the disciples approached him concerning prayer, it may be that our Lord's example of prayer brought into contrast their lack of an effective prayer life. Seeing the deficiencies of their prayers, they asked for help. Although the need to pray is natural for believers, human weakness calls for us to ask Jesus to teach us how to pray. A 4-year-old boy who was asked to return thanks before Christmas dinner had the whole family hold him around him. The family members bowed their heads in expectation for him to pray. He began his prayer thanking God for all his friends, naming them one by one, thanking God for all his toys. He thanked God for mommy, daddy, brother, uncle, sister, grandma, grandpa, all his uncles and aunts. Then he began to thank God for the food. He then gave thanks to the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, and even the cool whip. Then he paused as everyone waited. And then they waited, and after a long silence, the boy looked up. And he said, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't he find out that I'm lying?" When we pray, we receive the gift of God Himself. Prayer is communion with God. The most important part of our prayer is not what we ask for. It's that we have one-on-one communication with the most powerful being in the universe. Omniscient, omnipotent, everywhere, all-powerful, all-knowing. That learning the heart of God, that having a relationship with God, that allowing God to mold us, in many ways is more important than what we pray for. Many of our prayers are for temporary things. But what God is about is eternity. Our prayers are important. But I think my prayer life would be more fruitful if I spend less time talking and more time listening to what God has to say for me. As we grow in prayer, we discover that prayer is not simply asking God for things, a selfish means to an end. Prayer is not an attempt to force the hand of God, but an act of submission to Him, with the understanding that God's answers are wiser than our own. God wants His children to ask Him for things, but God answers in God's timing, in God's wisdom. God, of course, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways are higher than our ways, and His timetable is different. He's thinking about maturing His children, about growing us into a kingdom, about building an army, about creating an eternal home for us. So His motives, many times, may be higher than our own. If we never gain anything from prayer but the opportunity to communion with God, that is a great blessing in and of itself. The Lord's Prayer is not simply a prayer for us to recite. But as we discover this prayer, we can find this model prayer to be life-changing. We don't have to say it exactly the same way, but that prayer covers so many areas that are important and that God considers important. After all, it was Jesus who gave them a model prayer. It was Jesus who said, "When you pray, consider these things." There is no magic in a prayer. We're not asking for a cosmic Santa Claus. We're asking for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And Jesus discourages us to keep babbling like pagans who think they will be heard because of their repetitious prayers. But as we truly pray this prayer with understanding, we find that it changes our lives. And in our communion, in the Lord's Prayer, in the doxology, we're joining with billions of Christians throughout the ages who have done the exact same thing. Jesus was using the imperative mode in the original Greek, which indicates there's an intensity to prayer. It's not just something to cross off our checklist. Prayer is social action, economic force, political might. There's more to prayer than anything else around us. Some people think of prayer as a parachute. They're glad it's there, but they hope they never have to use it. It's been said that God whispers to us in our pressure, but shouts out to us in our pain. When things are going well, it's pretty easy to put off prayer. But it's when things are difficult, when we have tragedy, when we come up against something that we cannot explain or cannot do on our own, we are face to face with prayer. But my prayer for us is we don't wait for those times. We allow God to transform us, whether our days are good or our days are bad. We sometimes also struggle with how God answers our prayers. C.S. Lewis once confessed that he was grateful God hadn't given him everything he wanted. "I don't know where I'd be if I'd gotten all I'd asked for." It's interesting that half the people who win the lottery, a short time thereafter, lose all their money. That they got everything they wanted, but yet at the end they got nothing. Prayer may not change our situation, but it changes us. Prayer is the lever that can change us. And sometimes the timing is not right. Maybe we're told to wait. There's no spiritual frosting in the Lord's Prayer. It avoids pompous, high-sounding terms or phrases, sticking to simple, meaningful concepts. As we begin with God's glory, and then we bring up our needs. It's been said, when God is first, prayer makes sense. If the Lord's Prayer is God-centered, not me-centered, it highlights the primacy of God. Our church, our lives, our prayer should be ultimately about God's kingdom. Not how much we like the hymns or the sermons, or how much we like how cold or hot it is. Not how much we may like this or that. And anytime I step on someone else's toes, know that I'm also stepping on mine. That the kingdom of God is our primary focus. That it's too easy for me to become bogged down with just thinking about the here and now. It's too easy for me to take my mind off of what God wants to do with eternity, what God wants to do with us, what God wants to mold us into. The whole world is God's temple. The Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Prayer isn't getting a serious look on our faces. Prayer is spending time with our Father. And notice that very comfortable, familial, intimate term is used. Not Yahweh, not Adonai, not Lord, not Master, not Creator, not Sustainer, not the Alpha and the Omega. Father is used. That we are at the feet of God. And we are blessed in that we, though His creation, have an opportunity to be one on one with Him. And you notice Jesus doesn't tell us what position to be in when we pray or what time of day. When we read about prayer in the Bible, there are people who are face down. There are people with their hands lifted to God. Different occasions, different times of the day, different positions. That's not what's important. What's important is why we are praying and who we are praying to. Even Jesus doesn't use the exact words. His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. There he introduces his prayer, not by saying pray this, but pray like this. This is a blueprint for prayer. But there's another reason why people may want to avoid the Lord's Prayer. It's a risky prayer, as we heard about in the dramatic reading today. I can't say our if I'm living only for myself. I can't say Father if I don't try to act like His child. I can't say who art in heaven if I'm laying up treasure only for myself. I can't say hallowed be thy name if I'm not striving for holiness. I cannot say thy kingdom come if it's not my will and my passion to make that possible. I cannot say in earth as it is in heaven if I do not turn myself over to His will. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread, if I'm not relying on Him to provide for me. I cannot say, forgive us our debts, if I harbor a grudge against others. I cannot say, lead us into temptation, if I dive into temptation. I cannot say, deliver us from evil, if I haven't put on the whole armor of God and took a stand against evil. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom, if I'm not loyal to the King. I cannot attribute to Him the power if I fear what people may say or do. I cannot describe to Him the glory if I'm seeking honor only for myself. I cannot say forever if my life is bounded completely by the things of time, is what John MacArthur has said. Puritan minister William Gurnall observed, when people do not care when God speaks to them in His Word, God does not care about what they say to Him in prayer. The question for us is, what are we relying on? If we rely on our education, we can only do what our education can do. If we rely on our strength, we can only do what our strength allows us to do. If we rely on our intelligence, we can only do what our wit can allow us to do. If we rely on technology, we know that at the worst of times, it will fail us and reboot. And then it'll fail us and have to reboot again. If we rely upon organization, if anyone's ever worked for a large organization, you know how well that goes. If we rely upon prayer, then we rely upon what God can do. That no matter what we do as a church, no matter what we do as people, the foundation of that is our prayer life and what God can do. And if you're concerned about your limitations, if you're concerned about how God can use you, God can use you as a prayer warrior. God can use you to pray for other people. And I am blessed that this church prays for other people as much as it does. And this church has compassion for other people as much as it does. But God calls upon us to be faithful in prayer. And God has given us a model prayer based upon His kingdom, based upon what He has done for us, based upon His Son paying the ultimate price for us. And we know that when we speak to God, that the Lord has an ear for us. That He cares about the hair on our head, including both of mine. That He cares about the lilies in the fields. He cares about things that small. How much more does God care about us? And even when we today look at what we need to do in prayer, let us not forget that God is not just a God of holiness, but God is also a God of grace. That even when we fall short, God is there for us. That even when we disappoint God, God is there to pick us back up. That God's Spirit, that God's love, that God is with us as a father is with a child. That God will never depart from us, and that we are so important to our Father. And that's why our Father should be so important to us. And now, if anyone has a commitment that they would like to make, if you'd like to come down to this altar to prayer, if you would like to join this church, if you would like to take on some form of Christian service, now is the time.